Welcome to the Living Hope Podcast. Living Hope Fellowship is a church located in Lexington, Kentucky. You'll find that we're more than just a church, but we're also a family. You can learn more about the ministries of Living Hope Fellowship at www.lhfellowship.com. Now, here's today's message.
I'm enjoying going with you through the book of Ephesians. That's what we've been doing on Sunday mornings these last weeks together. And we're going to do that again this morning. We'll end up in chapter 3 together, the last part of chapter 3. The first, parts of the book, especially up through the end of chapter 3, are really aimed at some foundational thoughts about God and His working with us and our relationship with Him and what He's done to create that for us, to give us opportunity, and what He's done in bringing humanity together in oneness and putting us into a place of relationship with Him. And then today we'll spend some time on understanding the foundation of all that so that we can move forward in the direction we ought to. And then following that in chapter 4 and following, you see him getting into some more nitty-gritty things about walking with him on the daily basis and what it looks like, what it's supposed to look like in our walk with him. So that's kind of the overview of the book as a whole. And as we've gone through it together, we've just been enjoying just, seeing that foundation laid out for us. This morning, we'll focus on that last part of chapter 3 where you see Paul communicating to the Ephesians his desire for them to fully understand the love relationship that God has called them into. And so he tells them he's going to be praying for them. And so the title here this morning is, A Prayer to Know the Impact of God's Love. We throw that phrase around a lot around here about knowing things or not knowing what you don't know or thinking you know what you know, but you really don't know what you don't know, all that kind of stuff. But Paul's really concerned about this issue for the believers, that they would really know the depth of the love of God and the love there to have for God and this relationship of love that they have with the Lord. And it's kind of a sensitive phrase these days. There are some in Christianity today just kind of kicking around that love concept with God, and they talk about falling in love with Jesus, and that's a great phrase, except that for many it's become kind of quaint and all emotional and not really understanding the depth of that love relationship. And Paul's going to really break it down for us to get a hold of how important it is to have a love relationship with God, and it's not just a gushy-gushy feeling. It's something that's really tangible, something very solid, and should really affect us in such a way that it totally changes how we live life and brings a level of confidence to us in the way that we live life as a believer, that it affects our testimony even. And so we'll get into that a little bit more deeply together this morning. But that's his initial desire, is for us to, and his desire to pray for them, that we would, as the body of Christ, understand our love relationship with God. Let's read this passage together, and then let's kind of unfold that together as we go into it. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. That's pretty expansive. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length, and height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Interesting phrase, we'll come back to that. That you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus and to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So as he opens up this context to us of the idea of knowing the love of Christ and how deep it is and how wide it is and how broad it is, you know, how high it is. I mean, all these things, he wants us to get the reality that this is a big, big love relationship God's called us into, and that we would understand it fully. And so he begins to show us a few things that are important as we get into that topic. The first being that this is a real internal thing going on within us. If you look back there at the beginning of part of that passage, he talks about it being according to the riches of God's glory. He refers to that earlier in the book of Ephesians, where he talks about things being done for us in the relationship with God according to the riches of Christ. Here it is again. But in this context, he says, strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. What is this inner man idea? It's this idea that something's going on inside of me, not just outside of me. And we understand this in basic concepts. I mean, as we talk about relating to one another, we talk about that awareness that we get a deep feeling of love for one another. That somehow happens within us, and we kind of feel this depth of it in relationship, right? I mean, even as we was kind of teasing with the kids about that we really, even though we have a love for all mankind that we're called to, the reality is we know, let's be honest, we have a deeper sense of love for some than we do for others, right? And that's natural and normal in relationship, and yet God's called us even to a much deeper thing than that in our love relationship with Him. Now, why this is so important is because of this. Oftentimes, people enter into a relationship with God, and it's just a basic informational relationship for many. There's no depth of internal, deep commitment in that relationship often. It's not a relationship built on a love relationship with Him. It's oftentimes a relationship of receiving His act of love on the cross for them, and it stops there instead of it building and growing as it should over time. Any love relationship that doesn't grow in its relationship and depth of love is a sick love relationship. A deep, healthy love relationship grows and expands over time, right? And that's what God would have. Listen, I've been married to this lady here for 42 years. I'm going to tell you, I thought I loved her crazy good when we got married. But it's nowhere close to the way I love her today. It's not even in the same ballpark. Because of time and experience and relationship together, because of life's experiences together, because of faithfulness one to another through that relationship that builds on that and expands on that. It's a deeper sense of love than I had when we first got married. Well, that's just not even close to a good example to what God wants us to have with Him. The depth of love relationship with Him should far exceed that. But for many people, it's not like that in their relationship with God. For many people, it's all about just trying to do what God wants me to do and checking off the list of the things that I shouldn't do and should do. And it's not really this sense of depth of real appreciation for who He is in my life. This depth of real appreciation for how He has changed me and how He has drawn me to Himself. And that I really want to be with Him like I would want to be with my wife, you know what I'm saying? In times of fellowship and conversation and all that, to actually spend time with Him. You know, we think about our relationship with God, and oftentimes we know that we can pray without ceasing and all this kind of stuff, but this idea of really dedicating time that I'm not going to get interrupted by anybody else and actually spend time with Him, you know, we call that a quiet time. We'll come back to that. But is that important for us in our relationship with Him? Do we understand that relationship deepens in time together, right? I mean, that's a basic principle of life, right? We understand that. And so Paul's really talking about this love relationship, and he makes a quick reference to it here that this is an internal thing that we're talking about this morning. It's a relational thing between you and God that nobody else knows anything about but you and God. And your relationship with God internally is like no one else's because you are not like no one else. And God knows that. And that's one of the most mind-boggling things to me in the relationship with God is that God could know Susan Atkins and have a deep, deep love relationship with Susan Atkins because he knows who she is and at the very same time can have the very same thing with me. How he can do that, I mean, beyond what we can really understand. And then you can magnify that by the billions of people in the world. And that's the God we serve and how personal he is with us. Look at verse 17 for a moment again, where Paul reminds us, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Interesting, he didn't say in your minds. Isn't that interesting he didn't say that? Because isn't that where we make decisions in our head, right? And yet he's making sure that we understand that this is more than just a head knowledge, this is a heart knowledge. This is something down deep inside that you know there's some real depth to in relationship through faith. And that when you get a hold of that, it's going to somehow do something to you. It's good, and we're going to get into this topic first in just a moment, but you're going to end up being rooted and grounded in this love relationship when you really understand what it means for him to dwell inside your heart. You know, oftentimes for the life of a believer, their relationship with God is all about just kind of obedience. You know, it's not a bad thing. The wandering into sin in the life of a believer is indeed an obedience problem. But it's worse than that. You understand that an obedience problem in the life of a believer happens because of a love problem. If the love problem was not a problem, the obedience problem would not be a problem. Jesus said it this way. If you love me, what will you do? You will keep my commandments. You will obey me. In other words, he says, your ability to walk in obedience with me is 100% connected to your depth of love for me. When I'm struggling in my life somehow in my relationship with God over some issue that I've got going on in my life and the frailty of my human flesh is, you know, willingly subsiding to this temptation of whatever's going on, the core of the reason that's happening is because of my distance and my drifting from my love relationship. When we have a deep love relationship with somebody, we don't want to hurt them, right? I mean, these are basic principles. We can get a hold of this. When the love relationship is healthy between two, one does not want to hurt the other. One does not want to offend the other. One does not want to put off the other, right? Those are just natural concepts. So if I'm struggling in my relationship with God in some area of temptation and sin in my life, I should be able to get a hold of that simple principle and say, Lord, why have I or how have I allowed myself to drift to the point that I'm willing to do this or struggle with this in context with you in my relationship? And believe me about this. This will happen. When you talk to God that way, God will show you where you might have got off track somewhere because he loves you. And he wants the relationship to be good. He'll also remind you, hey, don't be so shocked. A righteous man falls down seven times and gets up again. It's not like I don't expect you to ever make a mistake in your life. But hey, if our love relationship's good, you're coming to me and you're wanting to find out what the struggle is and I'm going to help you see that and you're going to want to overcome that so that the relationship is good again. That's just kind of breaking it down and understanding how it's supposed to work. The heart of the believer that walks into sin has walked into it because somehow or another, their heart got hard. Somehow or another, they lost the focus of their love. Somehow or another, they drifted away from that which they've committed their heart to. Revelation chapter 3, we're reminded by that by Jesus when he talks to the churches. And he says, hey, I just want to remind you, you've left your first love. So we're talking about a deep concept this morning that somehow in the world that we live in has become kind of a scratch the surface, quick, you know, a catchphrase type of mentality. Oh, we all love God. Do you love God? Well, sure, I love God. And yet, for some reason, the depth of that understanding often is missing. Because the depth of that understanding should be what drives everything in my relationship with Him. And it'll be that which fuels my strength to be all that He wants me to be. It'll be that which has ears to hear when He wants to speak to me, and eyes to see when He wants to show me something. It'll be the core of everything in my relationship with Him. When my love relationship is healthy with the Lord, I walk healthy with the Lord. When I'm not healthy with the Lord, there's something going on in the love relationship. And I need to sit down with the Lord and figure out how we get that straight. Am I going to really walk where He wants it? Oftentimes people struggle. It's like walking up against the wall. I just can't figure out why I can't get past this issue in my life, or why I can't see this happen in my life, or God wants me to grow in this. I can't seem to grow in this. And oftentimes there are some basic offenses in the love relationship with God, and they know it. God would have you respond to this, or God would have you respond to that, but because of hardheartedness or dullness of heart, there's no willingness to respond, or there's some excuse, or there's some reason why I don't need to respond. And as a result, the love relationship's offended. And as a result of the love relationship of being offended, there's a dullness of heart. And as a result of the dullness of heart, there's a willingness to walk into something that you don't even want to walk into. Or there's a refusal to do what God would have you to do when you know down deep in your heart you want to, because you do love Him. So let's talk some more about this love relationship. John, he kind of took it on the chin. You know, the Gospel of John, I think probably in his day. This is a thus says Chris, not the Lord. You know, often you heard me say that before. The reason I say that is because I don't know for sure. I wasn't walking the streets with Jesus when John was walking, but I think this is probably true. I got a feeling if John communicated among the disciples the way we read in the book of John, where he says, the one whom Jesus loved, everybody else might have been saying, well, who do you think you are? What do you mean, the one whom Jesus loved? He loves me too, right? But we read that and we think, well, something was a little different that he would respond that way. And I think he took probably it on the chin, but I'm wondering if maybe the statement wasn't more about extreme appreciation than it was about arrogance. I'm wondering if it wasn't more about his awareness of how deep Jesus loved him that he could say nothing other than that, and that it produced in him such a depth of love for him, he could say nothing other than that, that he was just consumed by this idea, Jesus loves me? And maybe it's more about that. And you see, as you get over into 1 John, how he translates that in to a call to purity in the life of a believer. I mean, some hard stuff. We were looking at this Friday at Panera, and we got into that section that talks about, you know, choosing not to sin based on your love relationship, really. And he says, hey, my little children, I would that you sin not, don't do it. And yet he's the same guy that earlier in chapter 1 says, hey, you're going to sin. Anybody says you never sin, you're a liar and truth's not in you. So he goes from there over to don't do it. And he's really saying that we really have to have a depth of love relationship that's aware of the reality that I'm fully dependent on God. I can't be arrogant about my own strength, but at the same time, I'm so dependent on God and so in love with the Lord, I wouldn't dare walk into an offense toward Him. It's interesting, isn't it? How can you be doing both? And then here, Paul does kind of the same thing in a little bit in this chapter. Well, we're going to get into three things I think that might help us in this relationship as we look at it in the Word of God. And keeping this in mind, love is a powerful thing, right? I mean, we use that word so flippantly, but it's a very powerful thing. Think about this. God is love. He's chosen of his own accord to define himself that way. Love is a powerful thing. All that we know of God is an expression of his love toward us. It is who he is. And he's called us into that relationship with him, which is a love relationship. So having laid that foundation, let's look at this passage for a second. And I want us to try to get a hold of what the Apostle Paul, led of the Holy Spirit, is communicating to us about what are the goals of this deepening love relationship. What does God want to see happen in your relationship with him and my relationship with him? And so we see that unfolded for us in this passage. First, that we might be rooted and grounded in love. Words are not chosen by happenstance in the Word of God. They have deep meaning, deep importance. God's desire for your relationship with him because of that love relationship is that it would be a relationship that is absolutely rooted and grounded in love. Well, think about that for a moment. And there's tons of scripture about this. I mean, we could be here for hours if you want to unfold them all. You know, I got nowhere to go, but you might, so we won't do that. But this concept of being rooted and grounded in love, I just want to hit five or six of them here for a second. And I won't go into all of them very deeply, but just to think about what does it really mean to be rooted and grounded in love? What connotation does that bring to your mind? Let's just open it up for a second. When you think about being rooted and grounded in love, how would you describe that to somebody? Deep relationship. What else do you think about? If a person's rooted and grounded in love, how do you define that? How do you express that? What kind of person is that person? Forgiving person? Anything else come to your mind? What's that? Kind person? Okay, so their character's being affected. What's that? Slow to anger. So we're thinking about some of these verses of Scripture. What'd you say, Tracy? A loving person? Yeah. These are character traits that ought to be happening, right? How about let's look at some of the biblical character traits that kind of go right in line with this phrase even. What about, is that person a stable person? Yeah. They're a stable person. You know, recently someone made a comment in a meeting that I was in about an individual that somehow or another when they're in the room, there's just a sense of stability and comfort. That's a great blessing to hear something like that, isn't it? A person that's rooted and grounded in love is a person that's very stable in their life. Psalms 21 verse 7 says it this way. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the loving kindness of the Most High, he will not be shaken. He is stable because of the loving kindness of the Lord. The person that's rooted and grounded in the Lord has this sense of stability in their life. It's not like that they never had any problems, but when they come along the way, they don't sink, right? There's some sense of, well, I'm going to some other words that kind of clarify it. There's some sense of strength there. That's the next character trait that I've got here. They're strong. There's some strength about who they are. The scripture tells us about that in Romans 8:28. But there's some sense of strength there because the love of God is so strong that you cannot be separated from him. It's impossible to be separated from him. So there comes with that concept of that the love of God brings such a strength to your life. That's why you're stable. Because you know God's got this. God's love is doing this. It's not your love. He's not depending solely on you. He settled that in himself. That's who he is. And so in this relationship with God, I get strength because that's who he is. That rootedness and being rooted and grounded is exemplified, I guess is the way I'd say it, or is expressed through the fact that there's a strength that comes into my life, or a stability that comes into my life, or there's security that comes into my life. If you think about Romans 5, 8 through 11, we know there in that passage that it's clearly taught that we are reconciled to God in Christ. God does the reconciling to himself through Christ. And then in so doing, there is a security that comes in my relationship. In other words, God's not depending on your ability to keep you in relationship with him. He's depending on Christ's ability, his righteousness, his justification, not in mine. And so because of that, I can feel what? Secure. I can feel secure. The person that is rooted and grounded in love is a person that understands the security of the relationship. It's not a person that's walking down the street every day and they trip over the line and think, oh no, I've lost it now. You know, God doesn't love me anymore. Years ago, I had a lady that was struggling, going through some hard times in her life. Didn't understand all the stuff that was happening. And she made that comment to me. She said, I just don't know. It just feels like God doesn't love me. And I just looked at her and I said, oh, you're missing it so bad. That could never be true. Look at his expression of love for you. Somehow you're feeling unrooted and ungrounded, because if you was rooted and grounded in his love, you would know for sure that you're secure in his love. It's when we get outside of that awareness center and we lose some sense of rootedness and groundedness that we lose our security, our concept of security. Well, we could go on. Those were three S's, man. I'm doing the preacher alliteration thing here. How about three that begin with the letter F for a second? What about this concept of being foundational, you know, strong foundation in the Lord, that I have a strong foundation when I'm rooted and grounded in love? Look at this verse in Isaiah 54, verse 10. For the mountains may be removed, and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you. I go on, but let's just focus on that part. Everything else could happen and fall apart. My loving kindness, this is what God wants you to know about how he feels towards you as it relates to his love for you. My loving kindness will never be removed from you. That's why it says over in Romans, the heights, the depths, you know, the breadth. You can never get away. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Are you rooted and grounded in that concept? That's what Paul said we ought to be aimed at in this internal relationship with God and our love relationship with him. That there should be such a confidence in that love. I cannot be shaken on that. If you ever have this idea as a believer, now you see those quotes, I mean, only you and Jesus know whether you've really surrendered your heart to him. But let's assume you have. As a believer, should you ever end in the place of wondering, does God really love me? I can tell you that the enemy is trying to lie to you. Because the scripture is crystal clear that God deeply loves you, and he wants you to be rooted and grounded in that, and that any time you come to that feeling or that temptation or that idea, you can know for sure it's not from God. Because God's loving kindness never gets removed from you. It's there forever. Well, I guess so. Right. Ain't no flip-flopping with God. No. That's what we miss. That's right. We sometimes get this feeling that our relationship with God is contingent on the circumstances. And that's exactly the opposite of what the scripture teaches. Your relationship with God is contingent on the work of God, not yours. And once you're in that relationship, it's secure. It's foundational for you. It cannot be moved. It's formidable, powerful, See how I did that? Letter F, power. Anyway, it's formidable in your. It's a powerful thing in your life. We go back to Romans 8, and I can preach that text. You know how hard it is for me to just not be going to Romans and preaching that whole sermon there. I'm struggling. But it's the power of God released into us when we have this relationship with Him. And it changes everything when you understand that. Nothing can pull us from His power. Well, let's move on to another thing. I think we get that. All right, let me just ask you. Are you rooted and grounded in the love of Christ today? Is the enemy trying to lie to you about that? Don't let him lie to you. Make for sure first you're confident of your relationship with Him and walk in that. And let Him deepen that rootedness and groundedness in your life. Now, you might say, well, I'm struggling a little bit about that. It could be because of some drifting. So be honest about that. It could be because of some disobedience, which is a result of the drifting. And it could be that you're not going to have this confidence of rootedness and groundedness, though it's available to you, until you're honest about where you are with Him. It could be you're never going to have that security that you're supposed to have in the rootedness and groundedness until you're honest about being what He wants you to be in your daily life. And you just say, okay, God, I know this is what You want from me. I'm going to take some steps of faith and go ahead and be what You want me to be and trust You for it. And as you do that, there's something that kind of begins to happen inside of you. That drifting is no longer drifting. It's coming closer. That closer coming to Him and enables you to sense the awareness that you are surely rooted and grounded in His love. You see how that all works. Oftentimes, we just want to make it about a checklist and we're forgetting it's about a relationship. It's always about a relationship with God. And relationships have some basic principles. And one of the things that destroys relationships is offenses when you know what ought to be done and what God would want done and you refuse. Well, then you've just given the enemy fodder to work with. So don't let the enemy confuse you about the love relationship. That's secure. And let that love relationship drive you to deal with the things the way God would have you to deal with them. Well, let's move to the second thing here. Another thing He would like us to have clarity about in our deepening love relationship with God is that you might know that which surpasses knowledge. Man, it was hard for me to wait to get to this point because we talk about this around here so much. But look at this verse. Go to verse 18 there. I think I've got it printed out there after that, do I not? Uh-oh, am I messed up there? Here we go. That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Now stop there for a second. Maybe in verse 19 that we're going to get to it. The comprehend with all the saints, what is the breadth, length, height, and depth? Go on. And to know the love of Christ. Okay. We need to know that love. Which is something that does what? He wants you to know something that surpasses knowledge. That's pretty wild, isn't it? He wants you to get a hold of something with great confidence. That's what you do when you know it. But that thing that He wants you to get a hold of with great confidence is something that you can never fully know. Isn't that kind of wild? In this case, it's okay to not know what you don't know. It's one of the few times. But He wants you to so know what you don't know that you are rooted and grounded and fully convinced of it. He wants you to know and comprehend how deep He loves you, so deep that you can never get to the end of it, and you can never see the end of it, and it'll be always more than what you think it was. And when you finally get to that place that you say, okay, now I get how much God loves me. No, you don't.
Because you can't understand how much.
Surpasses knowledge. You're not capable of fully understanding it. But what you are capable of is fully knowing that you can't fully understand it. And fully knowing that He fully loves you. You can have that. You just can't know how fully He loves you. So much that you can't get your mind wrapped around it. This thing of a relationship with God is a very deep thing. You will be able to go deeper in your love relationship with God for the rest of your life and still go deeper. It can always go deeper. You'll never get to the... That's why you go to the Word of God that you've read 100 times a passage. And you open it up and you see in this passage as you've read it 100 times and all of a sudden there's something there you never saw before. How could that be? God just unfolding another layer. Just showing you a little bit more about who He is. And it just never, ever ends. Romans 11, 34, 33, 34 says it this way. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord or became His counselor? You mean I get to have a relationship with the God who's bigger than all you could ever imagine? Yeah. Yeah, you can. And it can be a relationship that you have stability and rootedness and groundedness in, and that you can have a tremendous confidence of understanding in, that you know, we do this all the time, right? I know that I know that I know that He loves me. How do you know? I just know. I've come to that place of understanding. Well, how much does He love you? I know it's way more than I think I know. And that's all I know. Well, the last thing that we can look at together in this passage is the Holy Spirit leads Paul to help us understand the depth of the love relationship with God and the call that He has for us to walk in it is that we might be filled up with the fullness of God. What is that all about? You know, we see in the Scripture many places talking about the Holy Spirit filling us. And what is the fullness of God? At one place we see the Scripture talking about the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in our Lord. That God has expressed Himself completely in human form in Jesus Christ. And that we've been called into this oneness relationship with God. And that God wants to dwell within us as He does through the Holy Spirit. And that we are to be the residence of the Holy Spirit. Man, think about that. We've talked about that here. Residence meaning owner, occupier, one in charge. And that God would have us to know what it means to be walking in the fullness of God. Wow. See, God wants us to walk in this life with a sense of confidence that He's with us. Don't you know that's that Jesus coming to the cross is all about that? All about that. You know, the first thing I was going to open up with this morning and spend some time on, and I tried to save a little time, was this reality. Isn't it interesting, this whole passage, when Paul talks about what's really important for you to understand, he doesn't say that you make sure that you get yourself to heaven. I mean, because that's what we tell everybody is the most important thing, right? And make sure you get yourself to heaven, you know, because that's when it really happens. No, that's the tail end of what's happening. Starts here, the day I give my heart to Christ. And so Paul wants us to get in on that love relationship now, that you're walking in it now. And yeah, you'll enjoy it for all heaven. That's great. But hey, how about right now? How you doing with Jesus in your relationship? You might think about, oh yeah, I can't wait till I get to heaven. It's going to all be good then. But how about right now? What about for you guys that are going to live another 50 years? That's probably longer than I'll live. You know? How's it going to go for you the next 50 years? Is it going to be distant? Is it going to be drifting? Or is it going to be drawing closer and closer and closer? Is it going to be offensive? Is it going to be alienating? Or is it going to be closer and closer and closer? God wants it to be never-ending closer and closer, even as you walk on this earth. And so Paul is trying to help us get our mind wrapped around that by Holy Spirit, that we might be consumed by the love of God, that He might be in your hearts, as He started out in this passage, always on your mind and heart. See, that's not possible in human terms. But it is with God. Look at verse 20 and 21 again. as we look at this passage. Now to him who is what? Who's able. Who's able. To do how much more? Far more abundantly than you think you can. You might think, well, I just can't get that close to God. I can't have that kind of relationship with God. Yes, you can. You can. Doesn't depend on you. It depends on him. He's able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power of his presence that works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and forever. I'm going to go back and close with this. You know, those who have been around me for a long time know that a big deal for me in developing this love relationship with God is spending time with God. It's not some great deep spiritual teaching that I learned along the way. It's a basic relationship concept. You don't get close to anybody that you don't spend time with. It's an impossibility. But here's something interesting. Everybody you spend time with an open heart and a receptive heart, you'll get closer to them. You'll develop a closer relationship. You'll develop an appreciation for each other. You'll begin to see the ways to build that relationship closer and closer. And so that is the reason throughout the years, oftentimes when I'm counseling with someone or talking with someone and there's a struggle and there's a problem, that the very first thing I go to, how's your time with the Lord? Well, what do you mean my time with the Lord? He's with me all the time. I'm always with the Lord. I pray without ceasing, right? I'm always with him. That's not what I'm talking about. When's the last time you just sat down, had a cup of coffee with Jesus? When's the last time you found time to just be still and know that he is God? That you would rest in his presence and say, God, I'm not here to ask for anything. I'm not here to check any boxes. I just want you to know I love you and I appreciate your presence in me. And I just want to spend some time with you. Certain place in the Bible that I'm reading, would you show me something as I'm reading through that today? Or God, is there somebody you want me praying for today? Interceding for in the fellowship? That you're just talking to God. I'm not making this a check on the box that makes you a good Christian or a bad Christian. That's not it. Jesus took care of that on the cross, right? He made you a good Christian. Can you just settle with that? He don't make bad Christians. Okay? So you're a good Christian if you gave your heart to Christ. What this is about is, how deep do you want to enjoy the love relationship? It's like every relationship. You're going to have to spend some time with him. And so maybe there needs to be some adjustment to make that happen. Maybe something's got to be altered. Listen, I'm closing, but I'm going to be careful when I'm saying here because I don't want to come off wrong. I'm not just feeding you a line. There's a woman who knows my life for 42 years. Go ask her if I'm feeding you a line. I'm telling you about something that I know makes the absolute difference in your closeness of relationship to the Lord. You will have to spend time with him if you want to go deeper in the love relationship. And Paul wants you to know that it's as deep as you could possibly think and then some. And it'll get gooder and gooder and gooder as you walk in it. You can quote that. That's great grammar. Don't grade me on that. All right. All right. Let's pray together.
Thanks again for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like to know more about having a fulfilling relationship with Jesus Christ, or you would like to know more about our church, you can visit us again at our website, lhfellowship.com. Or if you would like and you are in the Lexington area, please feel free on Sundays to stop by and worship with us. Our services are held each Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We would love to see you there. Until next time, Take care and walk in the way of grace.